Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Monday, March 16th, 2026. I am Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney, Zach Horwitz, and Cassidy Palmer. Indiana got off to a solid start to the week, pulling ahead late in a midweek match at the BART against Coach Mercer's alma mater, Wright State. Then the Hoosiers traveled to Eugene, Oregon. Oregon was a question mark nationally because of the very weak schedule they had played. After sweeping the Hoosiers, D1 Baseball has now ranked the Ducks as the number 21 team in the nation, the third Big Ten team to enter the rankings, all former Pac-12 teams. Indiana had leads in both Friday and Sunday games, but lost those leads and eventually each of those games by a single run. On Saturday, the only run scored was a Cole Decker home run. Only Indiana run scored. That was one of only two hits for the Hoosiers on the day. So Indiana is now 7-12 on the season and in a huge conference hole, 1-5, which is only good for 15th place out of 17 teams. Only the top 12 will qualify for the Big Ten tournament in May. So as typical, we'll start with Cass. Cass, is there anything statistical that stands out for you this week?
Yeah, I kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole this week. I was intrigued on the distribution of scoring across the length of the games. And so, mostly because IU scored almost exclusively in the first third of all three games this past weekend. And so I kind of wanted to see if what my eyes were seeing was what was really happening, where IU struggles a bit to score late. And that did hold pretty true. IU score when they score, IU scores early into the middle of the game, but really struggles to score in that, I've labeled it as the third of the game, or extra innings. And I did look at the full season to date, and I pulled out the weekends specifically, because we see funky stuff happen with midweeks. Doesn't matter the caliber of the midweek opponent. You get weird pitching stuff, you get weird fluky stuff. So I wanted to look at both to see if there was a significant difference. And on the weekends, and there's a little bit of a difference, but that's not my main thing I'm looking at. On the weekends, IU scores 40% of its runs in the first third of the game. So they are a bit top heavy there. By comparison, IU's opponents score just under 20% of their runs in the first third of the game. That's going to account mostly for starting pitchers. IU starting pitchers have been very solid thus far this season. But by the time we reach that third of the game, IU only accounts for 25% of its runs in that third, whereas opponents are accounting for more than a third of their runs scored are in that third of the games. How many times can I say third in a sentence? And so we are seeing that IU scores early. But if they don't score early, they do kind of struggle. And even when they do score early, they struggle later in the game. That has been fairly consistent. I also wanted to take a look at multi-run innings, because it seems lately, like outside of the midweeks, IU scores a run at a time, occasionally two, but very rarely more than that. And yeah, out of innings where IU has scored, almost 60% of them have been for multiple runs, which is pretty good. That's not a horrible number. However, only 20% are more than two runs. And so we're not seeing those big innings very often. That's for the full season. When you look only at the weekend, that big inning number, that more than two runs in an inning, drops down to 12% of the total innings with scoring. So this team is currently, this offense is struggling to have those big innings, to have that solid execution to push runs across all at a time. And some of that's coming from, we've talked about it, the hitting with runners in scoring position and all it's an artifact of that. By comparison, IU's opponents are actually coming up with fewer, as a proportion, multi-run innings. They are having more total scoring innings, so they are having more single run innings than IU. But the bigger thing there is opponents are having a lot more of those big innings. Actually, about a quarter of all of the innings with opponent scoring are going for three or more runs in an inning. Almost a little over double IU's rate of big innings. And so those were just a couple of things that caught my attention this week just from watching the games of IU is scoring early and largely one to two runs at a time. It makes it much harder to kind of chip back into games, even close games, when they're just struggling so hard to score toward the latter end of games. So those were the numbers that I pulled this week. Chris, who got your red belts?
Well, I mean, the stuff you're pointing out is you stole a little bit of my thunder, and I'm glad because the way you explain it is much better than the way I would have explained it with the percentages and I mean, it's just the weekend was frustrating, right? Four total extra base hits the whole weekend, right? That's how you get big innings. That's how you get multiple innings, doubles, triples, doubles, and it was just like we couldn't get them. We were getting one. What did I write down here? It was like we scored barely after the third inning at all, the entire series. And it was just so frustrating that I honestly went into this weekend thinking it wouldn't be that competitive. I'm going to be honest. And I said it last week. I was like, oh, I hope we get it. And Friday night was a great game, but we couldn't get the offense rolling except for that little bit in the beginning. And then we get the runs. Now, some of them were gifts, right? Some of them were on errors and some overthrows and stuff. But either way, we had six runs after three innings on Sunday. And I say, here we go. We'll get the Sunday game. And then that one slowly goes away. So, and I'm glad you really looked at those because that's really what I was. It was just too much. It was too much that we can't score after the third and the fourth inning. It's not a recipe for success, and it's never going to be. No matter what. There are belts to hand out, and this was actually harder than you think it would be. There was some actual, in my mind, real competition for these belts, except for one belt, which I'll do first because this one was just, I don't even, Cole Decker, okay? Cole Decker is putting on a show every night, it feels like. Starting with the Wright State game, the play he made, and I'll steal Austin's line. You know, he likes to describe where he starts on the big IU mat. Like he started in the region and he caught the ball in Wisconsin. It was wild the way he cut and went back and got the catch. It was great. And then you just go to Oregon, right? And then you got an eighth inning diving, sliding catch on Friday. And then on Saturday, was he robbing homers? Decker's been doing it all. And he only comes in late, right? It seems like. And it's just highlight after highlight. So Cole Decker's going to guard defensive red belt. Offensively, like we've talked about, four extra base hits a whole weekend. Wasn't much to go with for the Oregon games. I did go and look more at, I had to, it was the Wright State game. Coming off Washington, we obviously weren't feeling too good. And first inning, Caleb Cossey hits a three-run bomb, right? And then later on in the game, he hits a two-run double. Five RBIs in that one game for Caleb. And then he gets a two-hit game on Sunday. And we hadn't had a hit. No, we had one hit since the third. And that was like a Hanley single in the fifth. And then, trying to get the momentum going, a one-out double for Koski in the eighth, thinking maybe we can get something going. We did strand him there at second in the eighth. We couldn't get another run in. But Caleb Koski is going to get my Alex Dickerson Offensive Award. Pitching, again, there was a couple of ways that I thought about going. But to me, I know it happened on a midweek, but the moment out of these four games was a 2-0 count with the bases loaded. And I don't know if we stay winning that Wright State game, if Caden Jacoby doesn't come in and throw those three strikes. Coach Mercer, listen to Myers, right, from what I understand it, and he said, go get him. If you don't go get him, we're not winning his game. And so Coach went out and got him. Jacoby comes in with the 2-0 count. Like I said, three straight strikes. Huge moment. And then we add on some runs. That was one of the few times, Cass, that we did add on late was the Wright State game. So I'm going to go Caden Jacoby for the Joey Donato Award. So you've got Jacoby, Koski, and Decker for this week's awards. And I'm going to kick it over to Carl, who's going to talk about the Big Ten and the pick'em. And I don't know, man. I don't know what Carl's been eating or what's he been doing, but he's pulling off some Signetti magic so far with the Big Ten picks.
Yeah. Well, again, as I said, I just decided to mostly go chalk.
What are you,
But
11-0?
yeah.
Eleven and 0.
Mostly went chalk, but the one thing that it was just like I haven't, that this Maryland team the last couple of years since their last coaching change has disappointed every season, and they are doing it again, losing a series at home to Purdue. So, and I said, and I've seen, and I've heard some things from some of the national guys. I've yet to really, well, I take it back. I take that back. I did. I watched a little bit of film on Purdue, but that was against Oregon's ace. And the thing is, they were actually doing okay against him, but it was same deal. He was effectively wild against Purdue, although I didn't see the end of that game where Purdue scored a bunch of runs once they got into the bullpen, which Indiana did not do. So again, mostly things were chalk. A lot of good series. Minnesota Illinois was a very good series. Low scoring, and Illinois won that. Rutgers held on at home. While Northwestern lost the series, Northwestern did deal USC its first loss of the season. There are no more undefeated teams in college baseball after that game. Which, if you
Did you
were,
see some of that film, Carl? Did you see that snow?
yeah,
The weather they played in was ridiculous.
no, it wasn't
You didn't see it snowing crazy windy? Come on. How could
for
they play that
USC.
game?
That
It
was no
was.
different than what we had today.
Oh,
I was
there's
gonna
no
say
game. They're playing in it.
for
Yeah, but I mean,
USC it was crazy.
it's flur no, it wasn't. It was flurries.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe
That's
they were playing in it.
less distracting than rain.
Maybe, but I don't remember seeing too many games like
Well,
that.
but this is the thing. All those cameras are massively zoomed in. They massively overamplify the amount of snow that you actually see if you were there.
To look worse than it was,
It
huh?
makes it look a lot worse.
Okay.
I actually have a reply to 11.7 on my that I did. I actually shot a video at the Kelley School today, where I zoomed in on the flurries to where it looked just like that game, and then immediately I zoom out and you can barely see any snow.
Wow, okay. Well, the
Well,
ones I was seeing online, it just seemed like, how are they
it's the
out there?
center field camera zoomed all the way in on the pitcher. It's It's every bit of snow between the pitcher and center field is basically in that frame. So it makes it look way worse. And you see this a lot. And yeah, I think if you were there, you just saw, there's some random flurries. I would prefer that to having like rain falling down on my face in the middle of a game.
Oh yeah. I would too. Especially, I'm thinking like a football game. I'd much rather be at the game in a snow game than
Yeah.
a rain game.
And all of these people from the old Pac-12 are like, well, this just proves that the Pac-12 shouldn't have joined the Big Ten. And I'm like, you guys play in the Pacific Northwest. It rains there all the freaking
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
time.
you
You're
have
whining about it being a little cold in Chicago. Get over it.
to.
Yeah, Iowa took the series at Penn State. I think, Michigan played fairly well, but they were at the number one team in the country. It did not work out for them. So they're officially the last place team in the conference right now, but I would not bank on that remaining the case because they've only played one series and it's been at UCLA. So I think Tracy Smith's group gets a little bit of a pass there. I think they will be fine. But that does mean that IU is going to have some significant competition because really nobody rolled over here. Just there wasn't really any of that going on. Cass and I only were different on the Purdue Maryland pick. So Cass is in second place. Zach is among our group is in third, and then Chris is one series behind Zach right now. Obviously, lots and lots of picks to go. But yeah, I decided I was not going to start off in the hole this year. So we'll see how that maintains. And we've got some interesting ones this coming week. Iowa goes to Michigan State. Okay, less interesting, Maryland going to UCLA. Quite frankly, I think our series is very interesting. Minnesota coming to IU. Minnesota's been playing pretty decent baseball. Nebraska and Michigan, I think, is going to be very telling for how the rest of the conference is going to go. Is Nebraska a real contender? And then how does Michigan respond after playing at UCLA? I think Northwestern's going to be hunting for a win at Oregon. That's probably the best they're going to be able to really hope for. Penn State has been good and bad at various times last couple of years, so we'll see what they can do in West Lafayette. Rutgers at Illinois, and then you've got Washington at USC. Okay, maybe not as many interesting as I was originally thinking, but we'll see how our picks spread out. Cass, do you have picks ready?
Sure. So I had two that I thought were more challenging than the rest of them, and they're the two that I ended up going with the visiting team. I'm gonna take Iowa over Michigan State, but it's close. UCLA at home. Again, I'm picking UCLA until I have a reason not to. I'm gonna take Nebraska over Michigan. But that's another one I think is going to be very close. Picking Oregon. I'm going to go with Purdue over Penn State. Going with Illinois hosting Rutgers. And I think USC will beat Washington, even if they are no longer undefeated.
Well,
Those are mine.
I think our patterns are continuing, Cass. So I think I'm matching all of yours because I'm going to go with, except for one, I'm going to go with Iowa, UCLA. I've liked Michigan later in series based on how their scoring spread goes. And then that plus the advantage of being at home, I'm going to go Michigan in that series. But the rest of the way, I'm going home teams, Oregon, Purdue, Illinois, and USC.
Carl, you and I have the same picks here, actually. I'm going to take Iowa on the road and then every home team. I've had a little bit of a hangover from winning my championship last year in this. And I went with two road teams last week, and both of those lost. So I'll ride the home teams except for Iowa. But that Nebraska-Michigan series, I think whoever wins Friday is going to take that series. And they'll probably split it on Saturday. And that'll be a really close one. And if I could take an Indiana Minnesota won. I think that's the same where you got to win Friday in order to win the series. So,
Chris.
well, I'm not going to lie. I probably spent more time on the brackets today with the tournament starting Thursday, but I do have my picks. The way I looked at it for this week, I figured because it's bracket week, you cannot go against Michigan State because it's like, what is it? They say January, February is all right. So we're going to go Michigan State for this one. UCLA, I think on the basketball court would kill Maryland. So I'm going to go with that. Michigan let me down. All right, Michigan, you let me down. I took you for the upset to beat the number one team. So it's an 0-3 versus 3-0 here with Nebraska. And we don't need anybody 6-0. Okay, we don't. I mean, the way we got a ladder to climb, we need some mediocrity. So, Michigan, I'm taking you. They got to at least win two. He's going to win a series. I'm not saying they're going to sweep them, but 2-1 will work. I got Oregon over Northwestern. This kills me, but I got to take Purdue. This Penn State don't seem very good, so I did take Purdue. Maybe I'm thinking more about basketball in that way too, because Purdue would probably kill them. Then I got Illinois at home over Rutgers. And then SC over Washington.
All right. So many tabs open. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and go right into the Vanderbilt preview. I'm going to try to get I'm going to get this out here Monday night, so that you guys can at least be listening to this on Tuesday morning. So hopefully, if you are listening to this on Tuesday morning, you will still be have the Vanderbilt ser game in front of us. That game is now 3 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. It had been 7 p.m., but it's going to be very cold in Nashville. So because of that, they want to play this game entirely in the sun, so it will be earlier. And IU is already there because they flew from Eugene to Nashville today. So they did not come to back to Bloomington as this is spring break week, so they are already there, which made it obvious to me that the game was going to be played because Indiana's going to be like, based on our travel arrangements, we are playing this game. We are not we're not going to let Vandy get out of this one. Vanderbilt is an interesting story this year. I know I've seen some stuff online, and it's just like, and especially with the frustration over the way the team has played, it's like, oh, this is going to be, an absolute killing type situation. Vanderbilt's had some struggles on the mound, and not just against great teams either. They've given up a lot of runs. And this weekend, they played LSU. They won the series 2-1. The run differential was 2 runs. 33 to 31 was the series total. So it was a lot of runs scored by both teams. The good news is we've got a really good example. They played a couple dual midweeks, so they have already had situations where they've had to really stretch out their pitching on the midweek. Last week they didn't, though. They had just a single midweek game, and it was against Indiana State, so I think it's a relatively good comparison. Their starting pitcher went 4 innings, Alex Kranzler. He's a junior. He's not having as good a year as he did last year, but still, decent. He's in that, one plus WHIP range. He's, I think he's about 1.5 right now in WHIP. His ERA is highly inflated, but this early in the season, I prefer looking at WHIP. I think it's a little bit more telling. 1.54 WHIP. He was only a 1.10 WHIP last year, so he may not be as bad as his performance has shown so far. But he had a 4-inning start against Indiana State, so I would figure he is again going to take. And because of that and the scoring issue, I didn't actually check, but I doubt he pitched over the weekend. So that's who I would expect Indiana to see. Now, offensively. Yeah, these guys can swing it. Most of the team has an OPS over one. Most of the team does. And let's see, they've got five of their starters. Actually, take that back. Look, this is right. No, it's probably not a starter because there's two guys that are listed as left field. But yeah, over half of the starters have an OPS over one. And the worst OPS actually among the first like dozen players is 0.791 is the worst OPS on this group. So yeah, these guys have hit and hit a lot. And they've played, as most SEC teams, they've played a relatively weak schedule up to this point, but they've already had an SEC weekend and they did have a pretty big competition tournament. So, yeah, these numbers are going to be a little bit inflated, and they'll come down to earth once they get through the bulk of the SEC pitching. But this is a team that can give up runs, and this is a team that can score a lot of them. So they've been in a lot of high scoring games, while IU is completely the opposite. Has I mean, not been great on the mound, but still has. I think we talked about this. A majority of their games, and especially the midweek games, have been relatively low scoring. Not a bunch of runs have been given up. And in general, IU has been struggling a bit at the plate. So that's what I've got for Vanderbilt. I will go ahead and hand this off to Zach now to discuss the Gophers who are coming into town.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. So Minnesota comes in to Bloomington for weekend series. They're 15-5 overall, but they haven't really played anyone besides getting 2 wins over Kansas in the middle of this early portion of the year. They played their first conference series this past weekend. Obviously, Indiana's played two of those, but they played at Illinois, and they're now 1-2 in the conference. But just like Indiana, they've played a lot of close games. This past weekend against Illinois, they lost 2-1 in extras. They won 1-0, and then they lost 4-2. So really low scoring games. They haven't hit the ball well this past weekend, but they really pitched it well. This also has to do with their pitching staff. They have a bunch of guys. They have 8 pitchers that have thrown over 10 innings and about 4 starters. They've played I mean, between 4-game series that they've played and early injuries, they've stretched some guys out. So they've got a couple arms that you'll see that could maybe do what Indiana does and kind of combine a game with just 2 pitchers. So that's something to look out for. But Minnesota, they play North Dakota State Tuesday before they come down to the BART. Their best hitter, Easton Richter, he's tallied the most doubles and stolen bases in the Big Ten to start the season. That's 10 doubles, 10 steals. He has a 788 slugging percentage, 338 batting average. Then they also have a guy, Jack Spanier, who has drawn the most walks in the conference so far. That's 19 of those. He's a 324 hitter. And then what I think is their best all-around player, Weber Neals. He's their catcher, Big Ten Player of the Week just 2 weeks ago. Highly ranked before the season by D1 Baseball. I think he was in top 10, maybe top 15 catchers in the country. He's batting 310 on the season, 5 home runs. As I mentioned, the pitching staff. So they have 3 right-handed starters, really 4 of them that they're going to use. Isaac Morton, Cole Selvig, and then they've got a guy, Luke Ryers, who pitched last Sunday for the, I think it was his second start of the year, so I think he'll probably go again. That's where they have the guy Marcus Cruzan, who's going to give them an advantage. He's had three starts this year, so I'm almost certain he'll be in a long relief role to save the bullpen for the Gophers. They have two real guys out of the bullpen: Joe Sperry, who has 16 innings under his belt. He has about a 1 ERA now after the weekend, and then Ben Gregory as well, 19 innings pitched, 3.6 ERA. All their guys are right-handed though, which Indiana I think has seen plenty of those recently. And then to close this off, notable alumni here for Chris. We got some good MLB players, Paul Molitor and Dave Winfield, but one that has killed Indiana, but I have to mention it because he's on my Miami Marlins, is Max Meyer. So there's my alumni.
Add Bob Dylan to your list.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I couldn't believe it. I looked it up too. I wasn't sure who was going to do the preview, but Bob Dylan is a gopher. But yeah, Meyer was a stud. He got us plenty of nights. I
One
feel
most
like he hasn't gotten the Mets too bad yet, but he definitely got the Hoosiers plenty.
That was one of the most impressive pitching performances I've seen at the BART. 125 pitches. As he like you said, Gorski got him once, but other than that, he was nails that game.
And it's the what you'd want, right? It was a solo home run early. I mean, Maya didn't care.
All right. Well, we are 5 weeks in now, with the snow still coming down. Len, to be frank, the results just aren't there. By my calculations, IU would need to play 800 ball the rest of the way to get into the at-large discussion. So, barring a huge switch being flipped, I have a hard time seeing that happening. So if we kind of take that as our baseline now, how do we define what success is for the rest of the season from this point going forward? So I'll let anybody jump in who wants to.
I think we can all agree at this point that they've dug themselves a hole that they simply need to make the Big Ten tournament. I think Carl and I have talked about that. Cassie mentioned this before we got on today. They need to find a way in the Big Ten tournament and do something there. It's the new pool play format that was implemented that last year. They just need to win two games, really, and anything can happen from there. But when I look at this weekend, there's like pieces of a puzzle that you can put together. So like game one, Indiana had five hits total. Four of those came up from Landon Fry and Braden Ricketts. Hanley was the only other. And then in game two, only the eight and nine hitters for Indiana had the two hits for the team. That was Decker and Skyler. And then game three, it was scattered with eight hits, but they really couldn't finish it off on the pitching end. Where I go back to game one, Seabold let up his first runs of the year. Obviously, that's inevitable. He's not going to have a 0 ERA throughout the entire season. But also in that game, you had Regan Rivera, who had four scoreless innings. Like that was something that you can build off of. And then game two, Ivan Mostolski, he had two scoreless innings, which I think he's really come on as one of, if not the best Indiana reliever, I guess, outside of Seabold so far this season. And then also in game three, they had Sarhat, Caden Jacoby, and then Jackson Yarberry, who let up some runs towards the end of that one. But when you look at the positives in this, I know there's not much positive where they go 1-2 in a weekend and then 0-3 in the next. But you can put these pieces together. That Regan goes four scoreless, Mostolski two scoreless, and you get the pitching staff coming together. You need some guys to hit. You got eight, nine hitters to hit the ball. They're the only guys to hit the ball. But I guess if you're going to try and take a positive away, that they can really lengthen this lineup out, they can lengthen the bullpen. But I would say to my initial point that they just need to find a way in the Big Ten tournament because they're four games under 500 in the league. And I think this weekend is extremely telling of how this is going to go because you need to get back closer to that 500 mark. You cannot fall six games under. So, yeah, just want to know your thoughts, the rest of you here.
To me, it's like uncharted territory. Like I can't remember the last time we lost five Big Ten games in a row. Maybe it has happened, but and maybe it wasn't just in the beginning of the season like this. Maybe it's happened like in the middle or like broken up in between.
It's something
But
like, I mean, they've had these really bad periods. They generally come later in the season.
right? Is that what it is? Okay, so maybe
Yeah,
that's
well,
because
usually
it's
it's
early.
you hit that one that when Maryland came to the BART and swept IU, when IU has now twice gone to Iowa and gotten swept, things like that, and that have
What is
happened
the
late in the
sustained
season.
two in a row, 2 weekends in a row like this? It's just I'm not, we're not used to it. This team has gotten off the map before in years past after a bad performance,
Well, yeah, and the
and
other thing is typically the bad performance, happens against a good team. And the first one did not. That again, Oregon is proved themselves. In fact, I think IU, I think it's, would anyone disagree? I mean, at least those the for ways based on what you were able to see, that IU, in my opinion, played better this weekend than they did last weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
one of those you look back and you have a one-run game on Sunday, which you led by five, and then Friday they had a lead. I mean, it's a Friday Sunday. It could go either way. They could have won the series against a team that's now ranked and that will finish top two, if not top three, in the Big Ten. Like this is Oregon's a real team. Like this is not. I mean, Washington, we weren't too impressed with, but Oregon, I can say I'm impressed with. This Friday starter they had, Sanford, I mean, that's a legitimate arm that they're facing. And they still had a lead in that game with that guy on the mound. If they can piece it together against maybe lower level pitching that they'll see this weekend and going forward for the majority of the year, that, they could make something of this.
And whatever it was that caused them to be so ineffective against lower level pitching against Washington. And the thing is that, they did well against Wright State's pitching. It was hit and miss against Western Kentucky. A lot of times it's just head scratching as to, but what was weird was and the fact coach came out and said it, they were not on fastball timing against Washington, who were throwing fastballs in the high 80s, but they were able to connect on 96 this past weekend. So it's but to some degree, to kind of piggyback off what Cass said at the beginning of the show, where they've done well against starters, part of the they I think they do a good job preparing for starting pitching for specific starting pitchers. And I think they may have they there may be some struggle there in switching over to or applying whatever whatever direction they have to the bullpen, particularly when you get different profiles like a lefty throwing junk 3.5 innings. Mean, it's just that was the killer period. That guy just completely shut the game down on Sunday.
Wasn't it
And
Twist, right? Wasn't
yeah,
it
Twist,
Twist?
yeah.
West.
What a
Yeah.
name for
That's just frustrating,
a
Carl. It's just frustrating,
Yeah.
It's like, come on. And then it was like the Charlie Brown thing. We had the ball was there on Friday, and then they took it away. And then the ball's there on Sunday, and it gets taken away. And I don't know, man. It's new. It feels new. Like it, I know everybody online will tell you this has been going on for years, and da da da. It
But
hasn't.
it really hasn't. No, and the other piece of that is, I mean, it's almost, and it's part of the frustration. But what we're talking about is a game of whack-a-mole. In 21, they couldn't hit. In 22, they couldn't throw a strike. 23, they were struggling against bad teams, but always somehow found a way to win games.
Late.
And yeah, late, and then pulled off that magical run to the regional final game. 24, you thought they were, given the talent and the fact that it was such a young team, they just didn't take that step forward in 24. But they still managed, they still did well enough to get to a regional. Last year was frankly disappointing. And part of it was that you had some up and coming prospects that just didn't perform in helping the team to win as much as you were hoping for and expecting for. This
Yeah.
year, I mean, it's this year, and it's kind of a dichotomy because they actually are the individual pitching metrics are actually a tad worse this year than last year up to this point. Now they've played us so far a tougher schedule this year. That's part of it. But that median run total, they've kept more games. Where a lot of these pitching numbers have gone bad has been these explosive innings in a few games that got way out of hand, while the majority of games they've kept those games manageable. But for the first time, really since 21, that they went, they had that whole, hey, we want to keep it, six and under rule. That's not going to cut it
Six.
now, because the offense isn't going to score six runs. The offense hasn't been doing that. So now it's, yeah, you really need to hold teams to 2 or 3 runs to win games, and that is a tougher ask of this particular group of pitchers, which is thankfully includes a couple freshmen, which is one thing that's been a little bit lacking in the past, but is very highly reliant on grad students. So that's kind of where we're sitting. Cass?
For me, what I want to see is progress at this point in the season. These Mercer-led teams traditionally get better as the season goes on, as a whole. There might be little blips here and there, but as a whole, Mercer-led teams get better as the season goes on. But what stands out to me, and maybe part of what's been causing more issue in that kind of transition from starters to relievers on the offensive side, it's a bunch of young guys that almost the entire order, sophomore, sophomore, redshirt freshman, sophomore, 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 freshman, sophomore, junior technically, but barely played as a freshman with TJ. So like it's a bunch of young guys who are very talented. Absolutely. Some of them are among the most talented IU has seen in a long while. But sophomore slumps are a thing. And if we just keep playing kind of a different version of whack-a-mole, but a whack-a-mole of which sophomore is going to be slumping all at different times, it just rotates through. And so I want to see progress. We don't need perfection, but I want to see how this team progresses. And I was trying to see, I don't know, are any of these sophomores draft eligible?
Thomas is.
Yeah, Brayton Thomas is.
I meant
Not no, not in the
on position players
nope.
offense
The position
side.
player group is none of them are draft eligible. No.
And that's what I thought. So these are guys where, barring transfer stuff, we expect to see them next year. And so I want to see them develop as much as they can this year. And I don't want to say regardless of wins, you need to win games. But I want to see this year how far can they go? How much can they develop this year? And bring those young guys forward into more leadership type.
Well, one thing like we can say though, we say yes, they need to win games. But to Zach's point, if the goal now is to get to the Big Ten tournament, you don't have to win midweek games to do that. So, now granted, that's probably going to be more about trying to develop the pitching staff. So, my hope is that that Kellen English can continue to develop. That Javi Carrera is going to be able to get his command issues more in line and be able to actually see some action. And I think they need to not be afraid to let some of these guys throw in these midweek games.
Oh, absolutely.
And try to develop them so that they can contribute. And part of that though is to build it up, because while I mean this is the thing is if you do go if the if you do have this magical run at the Big Ten tournament, you got to win four games, so you've got to have the pitching to handle that. We don't know why Jackson Bergman was held up for this past weekend. We know why he was the prior weekend. We haven't had an explanation yet. We probably won't until a little bit before this series. So, from that perspective, that's a piece that if they do want to do something into this season, that they're going to hope that piece is available. But we just don't know what the actual story there is just yet.
And I,
I did want to, sorry, go ahead, Cass.
oh, I was just gonna give a little bit of a red belt honorable mention shout out to Regan Rivera. He, as in my time watching IU, he might be the most aware pitcher we've seen as far as PFPs. And the one that stood out to me was, I think it was either that it was either that really weird third inning or the fourth. I think it was that weird third inning where there was a ball that got away from who would have been at that point, Denny, I think.
I think
Yeah, would have
Denny, yeah, it
been
would have been
Denny.
Denny.
Would have been Denny at that point. Ball got away from him, and runner on first. And Rivera was so quick to back up and get to that ball in an unusual, you don't know where the ball's going situation. Runner didn't even try to go. And it just really stood out to me how aware he is of everything around him while he's on the mound.
Yeah, that being said, I was shocked that Oregon tried to bunt for a hit twice against him.
Yes.
I think the Big Ten is probably by now, as I assume going forward, has learned their lesson to not do that anymore. But
But yeah, so I just wanted to give that shout because that did
yeah,
stand out.
I did want to give a shout out to the whole team. No errors this weekend. Not a single error this weekend. And the team is now at 0.969 fielding. As usual, they start pretty low. It took them almost to the end of the season to get to 9.7 to 0.97 last year, and they're almost there now. So in fact, those there are I track year-over-year statistics for the whole team. And there are only two in which the team is better this year over last year, and that is fielding percentage and double plays turned. So, and the double plays turned is double last year. So it's a huge, it's a 200% change over year. So the defense is actually a bright spot, and IU was the better defense this weekend. I think that was one aspect of the game IU was the better team in over the weekend.
This is definitely one of the better defensive, if not the best defensive outfield Indiana's had in years. I mean, I'm looking at our red belts here, Chris. You've given Aiden Krause 2 weeks ago and then Cole Decker back-to-back weeks. Those are guys that are starting in center field, left field. I mean, they're all over the outfield. And then you have Hogan Denny as well, half the time, if not more than half the time, that has the strongest arm on the team out in right field. So I think that's a huge bright spot that we haven't seen too much of, like throwing runners out or anything just yet. Obviously, Decker's range has been ridiculous, but and Koski as well. I got to mention Caleb Koski. He went back on a ball last week in left field. I think, yeah, the outfield defensively is as good as I've seen it in my 3 years covering the team.
And that was interesting because it actually felt really shaky the opening weekend.
Yeah.
We were really nervous opening weekend, but I think part of it was that Decker's better in the middle than he is in the corners. That's one piece of it. But also, I think IU did not know. I mean, it was all transfers at North Carolina. They had no idea how these guys are going to hit and where they were going to be spraying the ball to. And because of that, IU was out of position a lot that opening weekend, and I think
Yeah.
that was a lot of what that was. It's felt much better after that weekend. And then of course Denny, I mean Denny, they threw they the relay got a guy out at the plate, saved a run, and heck, just getting to that ball. Yeah, with the description, I remember. Well, Cass, you and I were talking about that because you were going off the radio call,
Yeah.
and you were confused by, where the runners were.
Right. 'Cause it yeah, that one threw me off. Stupid Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi was causing me problems.
So I think that's I think. Well, at this point it's a game at a time, series at a time. So we'll see what it looks like against Vanderbilt in the cold. Can you whistle in the cold? I don't know if that's a thing.
Hope
They'll
not.
be
He'll
there. They'll
be there, but will we be able to hear him? That's
be there.
the bigger
Unfortunately, I
question.
think the acoustics are better in the cold,
Yeah.
so
Which
that
talking about acoustics, I have to say, the Oregon students on Sunday were real active, and that crowd mic was real loud. That was even louder than Feeney, than I can hear you on any of the broadcasts.
Oh yeah, they were great. They were great Sunday.
This Vanderbilt game, by the way, just to mention, is on SEC Network Plus. So that's with an ESPN account, not Big Ten Plus. And then Carl, you tweeted it out that D1 Baseball has a deal with
Yes.
Big Ten Plus.
Yeah,
So.
so yeah, there is a I'll probably throw it in the Friday game for Minnesota's live game blog again so that it's there. There's a coupon code allow you $2.99 a month for the rest of the baseball season. So basically $9. $9 will get you the rest of the Big Ten Plus games, which is the vast majority. In fact, I think what just one Maryland game is all we have
Yeah.
pre-scheduled on Big Ten Network now. So
Then
I think there's some
out of
flex
20,
games at the end. right? Well, yeah, they're going to base it on what games are going to matter there that final week. But if IU is right on the cusp of the 12 line, an IU game might get onto that Big Ten. But for the most part, if you want to watch the team on video, it's going to be via B1G Plus, not the Big Ten Network. Very good. Thank you, Zach. I almost forgot to mention that. But yeah, that was a huge thing that that D1 baseball must have just negotiated with B1G Plus, which is important because we want to grow this game. And it's not like the ACC and the SEC where just having the television having the television gets you access to the streaming. In the Big Ten, it does require additional payment to get those extra streaming games, and not everyone wants to do that. So, and especially this time of the year when it's snowing outside, there can be some challenges in folks necessarily wanting to come out to the park. Although, provided that the rain holds off, the temperature is going to be pretty nice this weekend. So, we will obviously communicate if there are any adjustments to the times because of potential rain. It looks like it's slight chances of rain, but a lot of times that means little pockets of stuff, and they sometimes may make some time adjustments just to avoid those. shall see. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana University baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Cassidy Palmer, Zach Horwitz, and Chris Feeney, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.